drumming, storytelling, belly dance, song, and hip-hop. This show explores the people's history of the United States and is dedicated to Howard Zinn. The event features a full-length dance drama, silent auction, and reception for the show. It all takes place on Saturday, April 28th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 29th at 2 p.m. at the Cowell Theater, located at 2 Marina Boulevard in San Francisco's Fort Mason. The venue is wheelchair accessible. For more information and tickets, call 415-826-4441 or go to dancemission.com.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, where we will be welcoming fellow visionary activist Jim Ruff from wisedemocracy.org. But first, before I bring him in, let me weave a little context. So first, a shout out to our ally, Ken Kaufman, a great indefatigable organizer of the New Living Expo, newlivingexpo.com. That will be April 27th through the 29th in San Mateo, with the usual and unusual suspects. I think with a tip of the hat to Art Bell, who died on Friday the 13th. Many of his guests will be there. Foremost, Will Durst, Swami Beyondananda, Dean Radin, John Gray, Marianne Williamson, Carolyn Mace, and many others, agents of sane reverence. May it be so. And we have so many ways to cahoot. You know, I have my ongoing Monday Trickster Council. There's Patreon Visionary Activist Show. There's a new way of the Trickster course via Shift that's beginning, and a wonderful collaborative ally, Banafshe, who is one of the most beautiful dance teachers I know, is leading a journey to Turkey Sufi dancing, and to which I will be contributing astro-mytho-guiding narrative each day. And men are welcome, too. You can find out about all of those things at coyotenetworknews.com. So by way of introducing really all of us, and also Jim Ruff in a moment, I did throw the I Ching. My current favorite is Stephen Karcher's. And it said, oh, difficult circumstance, confining an oppression to the world. It shows an old dilapidated house. I just learned the etymology of dilapidated. Lapis is stones. Dilapidated means the stones are falling apart. Or a great open mouth in which a tree is confined. Confined and oppressed describes your situation in terms of being cut off, oppressed, and exhausted. We're going to offer the antidote. The way to deal with it is to collect the energy to break out of the enclosure and reestablish communication. This is pleasing to the spirits, and through it they will give you success, effective power, and the capacity to bring the situation to maturity. And then, bless the I Ching's heart, it changed to the last hexagram 64, not yet crossing. Remember, this is, the world is in chaos. The task is, you know, to be invited to leading it back to sanity. You know, the small fox, a crafty, shape-changing animal at home in the dream world, is a symbol, you know, of how we cross the demon country. Not yet crossing means we are preparing to make a major move or transition. We're on the riverbank, gathering the force to cross. We're preparing the food. We are in the world of potential, the season when the fruits ripen. The term suggests the tree on the earth altar, the necessity to offer preparatory sacrifices and make ritual announcements. We are poised at the entrance, preparing for transition, readying ourselves to embark on the journey. And one of the sky metaphors right now also is a party of campers packing their canoe at twilight, the ability to navigate dark water. So, more than perfectly, wake up and dream, we say. We host Jim Ruff, dedicated to wise democracy through small councils growing into larger ones, that we may cultivate, magnetize, animate, and spiral forth the irresistible, unifying story of sane, reverent common sense. His website is wisedemocracy.org. Welcome, Jim Ruff.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. It's good enough. Absolutely. So thank you for being such a good sport and being the perfect guest at this time. So wonderful. I did peruse and watch all the videos on wisedemocracy.org. And it reminds me of another favorite guest, John Michael Greer, who says, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something and you will only get heat. You know, what two needs is three, which is the unifying story. And that's a primary dedication of yours, right?
Well, absolutely. It's how do we all come together? Not so much, I mean, one way is to gather a few people and a little more. But this is a whole system approach. This is about how do you and I facilitate the whole system, whatever that system might be, either globally or nationally or in our local communities. How do you and I facilitate the whole system at once to come together? And we think we have some social innovations that can make that not so hard.
Excellent. And there's a lot, you know. One of the things that I like to play with that seems kin to your dedication is convening conflicting people around the Middle East with Neil Douglas Klotz, and he was like, oh, this is going to be difficult. And I said, well, we're just going to give the frame that whatever critique people bring up, they're then responsible for a blessing, a desirable vision, a way out, right? Mm-hmm. And at first people didn't know what that was, right? But then they really got the hang of it. And Neil said that was amazing because after the meeting, he said there was no poison in the room because everyone was responsible for imaginatively conjuring the antidote. And that's very you, right?
Well, it is, except, I mean, it is. There's different dimensions to this. One is what I call dynamic facilitation, where you facilitate a room full of people. And the other process is the Wisdom Council process, which just extends the range of that field. In other words, when we facilitate a meeting, when we facilitate a conflicted situation, it's as though we've set up a field in the room where everybody in the room now is thinking collaboratively and creatively and trying for win-win solutions. And they don't maybe even notice that they've made that shift. And what the Wisdom Council process does is it enlarges the scope of that to the whole system. So rather than just having a small room full of people, which is the example you gave, what about if we could do that same thing for the whole Middle East or the whole nation? You know, some way in which all this partisan wrangling actually is part of a creative, collaborative conversation where we come up with win-win answers.
It is yearning to happen, and I just heard a really intriguing and heartening interview with the mayor of Georgetown, Texas, which is a, you know, pretty conservative Republican town, but they've gone completely renewable in all of their energy, and he was such a sane, civil voice. He says, I have the greatest respect for Al Gore. You know, we're Republicans, but we're not insane. You know, and there is no coal jobs, and here we are. And we go, right, so there are allies abounding, right? And this, absolutely, the Wisdom Council extended, you know, you speak a lot about, you know, the individual into the unifying, and that's, that makes great sense, and it's yearning to happen, you know, that people keep all their differences, and from difference come into an accord, a unifying vision that they can all agree with? Is that part of your dynamic?
Yeah, but I would never use the word agree, but yes.
Okay. All right, that's fun.
We have a language that we've grown into that is fundamentally judgmental on its basis. And as long as we're in a judgmental conversation, we can't really do democracy, I feel. So when you say an idea and I agree or disagree, I'm in the wrong mind frame. And as a facilitator, I want to help people get away from that mind frame, where I want them to be in a creative place, where if you say something that you would normally, one would normally, quote, disagree with, we want them to be starting to think in terms of, wow, that's wild. How did they think that? Where do I get something even better?
No, I like that.
And that can be facilitated. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. No, that's great, because we get to do radio magic. Radio really is a wonderful way of convening, and so we also have a giant cauldron into which we can throw things. So I'm happy to throw, the word agree in to go be revitalized, and what goes with that also is, do you approve or disapprove of this? Let's throw approval, disapproval into the thing as well.
I teach dynamic facilitation. I teach these seminars for almost 30 years now, and it's about how do you as a person hold the space so that people can just talk in their ordinary language, but somehow or other, because you're reshaping what's happening, everybody's in this higher level of thinking rather than the usual agree disagree mode.
Right. So, absolutely, you've got the spirit of it. Feel free to go anywhere you want during our conversing. But let's say if we throw agree, disagree, approve, disapprove into the cauldron, might we ladle out accord to come into accord? Is that?
Yeah, I think I like that. I use the word unity, but I like accord. That seems good. I'll have to look up the etymology of it.
Exactly. No. I love that you're an etymology ally. I love that. Just because it does. We're tracking everything back to its liberating spark, and etymology is a great way to do that. Privilege means private law, and there you have it. We kind of got that thing going, but I'll have to look up accord as well. And so that idea of bringing things into accord, and something from the very first show I did with James Hillman, September 5th, 1996, that we replayed a little bit of that on the air. But that's where I brought up this surprising part of the Quran that says it's where Gabriel. Or Gabriel goes to Muhammad goes to Gabriel and says, we could have had no evil at all, no conflict at all in the world if you'd made us all alike. And Gabriel says back to Muhammad, Allah, God, the divine, would have none of that. The greater experiment is to come into accord from difference, right?
So, nice, I like that. But to me, there's an ongoing emphasis on the individuals doing that, something the individuals do. And gee, if we could get the individuals to learn how to do that, then and maybe get a critical mass or something like that. I'm talking about it. I mean, all that's real and that's true, but I think that what happens is that people ignore that we live in a system, and we can't get there from here, because the system itself dictates how we talk and think and make decisions. That was decided 230 years ago. There was a conference that was chosen 230 years ago at a constitutional convention, for instance. They met and figured out how we're going to all talk and think and make collective choices, and that process has kind of spread throughout the world. And we call it democracy, but I honestly think that there was a democratic process in coming up with the strategy, but I don't see that you and I live in a democracy, or that it's even possible from the standpoint of emphasizing the individual change. Much easier, much faster, if we're going to solve society's big problems, is to be able to facilitate it. So if you and I can somehow restructure the context so that people are just, everybody who's in the conversation can be at a higher level, thinking in this creative, collaborative, heartfelt way, where we reach unity or accord, somehow you and I can facilitate that field so that that's just the new natural situation, well, then democracy gets easy.
So how shall we do that?
Well, I learned it through dynamic facilitation some of the key factors. One is that we need to go with people's energy. It's really about energy. And what we've learned, of course, in our quote democracy today is to cut off the energy. We talk about decision making, which is where you the root for decision etymology is to cut away. So we cut away our feelings, we cut away the minority, we cut away the other options, and so we don't end up with holistic answers, and we don't end up with a sense of unity, and we can't because of the structure of how we're talking. So how we get there, one piece is that we're reconnecting with our feelings. So as you facilitate, or as I facilitate, we help people say whatever they're saying, which might be a radical right-wing or left-wing position and advocacy, and we capture that, and we capture it in a symbolic way so that people can look at charts, for instance, and see that they are up there, that their view is up there, and there it is, and they hear that same thing from others. And at some point, they kind of shift more into problem-solving or puzzle-solving mode of realizing, my gosh, look at all this difference here. How do we pull that together? So there's a reconnecting of feelings, and there's a reflection process involved where we're reflecting on what's going on. And so we're staying in this creative zone of feeling a shift, an exciting shift of movement, where we start to make new connections, where there's, oh my gosh, you know, hey, wait a minute, if we took this part of that and this part of that, we're pretty much there. And so that kind of thinking process, which I call choice creating instead of decision making, is the key. If you and I can facilitate choice creating in our systems and in our meetings, then people are in a different zone of thinking, and all this stuff becomes possible.
You're going to like the etymology of accord, which I just pulled up here. It's in keeping with what you just said. It's great. We can put it in our magic backpacks and, you know, keep it forever like a lucky penny.
Uh-huh.
It means to come into agreement, to be in harmony, add towards and cordis the heart, to be of one heart, to bring heart to heart. So there we go. We like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Except for the word agreement, but yes.
well, okay, that's right. Now we'll have etymology poker. I see your accord and raise you an agreement. Agreement. Remind me again your appropriate grumpitude about the word agreement.
Well, there's a lot of words out there, including agreement, that are tip-offs to me as a facilitator, dynamic facilitator, that we're not in the right spirit. And if I ever hear the word agree or the word disagree, I know that we're not there, because what's happening is people are agreeing and disagreeing with something instead of building on it, instead of taking it in, instead of responding with their heart. It's a judgmental process. We're stuck in a judgmental zone.
Okay, that's fun, because I have just pulled up agreement here, and it is mutual understanding, but it also says mutual conformity. All right, we're throwing agreement into the cauldron, but we're keeping accord. That's good. Wonderful. So yeah. So I saw your videos on wisedemocracy.org, and to paint, to animate again what you're are dedicated to. You do mention that you've been very big in Europe, and I love how synchronicity has brought us together. You know, that you were saying, you know, been working on this, and we're very popular in Europe, and we've done a lot in Austria, but we want to connect with our, you know, domestic allies, and we're just one phone call away, and then I called. All right, so I go, here it is. Listen for your destiny, and when it calls, release your plans, and you were wonderfully available. I don't think you have a problem with that word, available. So in keeping, so maybe you can, you know, kind of guide us through just briefly, you know, the quality of the small council into the larger in Austria.
Well, yes. So I was teaching seminars in Europe, especially around Frankfurt, and someone from the he was in charge of the Department of Office of Future Related Issues. So they have offices with titles like that. Of course, we would have trouble with that somehow, but they have an Office of Future Related Issues, and he came to the seminar. He'd read an article I wrote, I guess, and then he came back, and he came back to this was a four-day seminar, and he came back the third time, this time with eight people from the state of Vorarlberg, and they just basically met and said, we're going to do this. We're going to take it to the state level. So they looked around for mayors in the state of Vorarlberg, which is the westernmost state of Austria. It's right on Lake Constance, kind of like the California of Austria. And they found a couple of mayors that wanted to try it. And in the Wisdom Council process, what you do is you have some issue like, I mean, at the global level, it could be climate change, or at the national level, it could be healthcare. At the state level, it could be funding education. In the city, it was like, hey, a building project in the middle of the city, in one case, that nothing was able to be done because every time somebody had a plan, there would rise up the disagreeers who would want to fight it. And so there was always a battle, and so you had at the heart of this community a big parking lot instead of any developing. And what it turns, we did a Wisdom Council process, for instance, where we randomly select I think it was close to 24 people, something less than 24, and they meet for like just a day and a half, but they're dynamically facilitated, so they think in this spirit of choice creating. And they come up with unity. They come up with a chord. And basically they were saying, look, we want to be, as citizens, we want to be connected to the lake. We don't want to be divided away from the lake by the road and the train tracks. We want to be able to just kind of walk from the city, feel connection to from the city to the lake. And the developers basically said, hey, we never thought of that. And the mayor said, well, you know, we never thought of it either. So what happened is that there was this building momentum from the citizens to accept the project if there was this connection to the lake and in it. And so there was much more of a building spirit, building something together spirit. And then in time, what happened is with enough experience in different communities, the state parliament, they have four political parties. Basically, they said, wait a minute, this is nice. We want to have this too. And so the state parliament now every 6 months shuts down for an afternoon on Friday afternoons, and the elected officials walk into the foyer of their building, and they sit at tables, and then the randomly selected Wisdom Council comes on stage and tells them the story of what they came up with in unity. So they say, well, maybe if the issue was immigration, for instance, or refugees, the refugee problem was a big deal. So they would tell the story of, you know, okay, we don't want to terrorism, we don't want all these other bad things and everything, but basically These are people that we can help, and they can help us, and so we want to be better at helping them. And we can't, we have a limit to how much we can take, but we need to be stronger and better about how we help them and how they feel about us when it's over. And so it was kind of a love-in afterwards, because, well, first of all, nobody started that place, but the elected officials said, no elected official could have said that. And so the elected officials would then were able to talk at their tables with a clear voice of what we the people want. And they were able to talk better among themselves and change the policy around, I don't know, they talk in German and I don't. So I can peer in sometimes and see what's happening, but I don't speak German, so it's not as easy. But anyway, the parliamentarians now have changed their constitution. I mean, the elected officials have changed the constitution of Vorarlberg to do this every 6 months. And this is the fun part, they set up a process where if any one person comes up with 1,000 signatures, the state will sponsor a wisdom council on the issue that they selected. So it isn't just the governor selecting the issue and the parliament selecting the issue, it's now the individual citizens can select the issue.
So that there's a welcoming ground, certainly, in this country. One of my favorite kind of political consultant guests said, you know, Trump will be swooshed out soon in some form, but that's not the main problem. The main assignment that, I mean, what after? And I think yeah. It makes a kind of nest for the dynamic and this idea of, you know, yes, coming into accord from difference in that welcoming for everybody. You know, you speak about stop competing and bring into conversation. Of course, etymologically, we know that the word compete used to mean to strive together. But the point well taken. So the timing is right, really, for this country.
Yeah.
And we are here to bless your work. That it go forth, and you know that idea of, you know, the confluencing of allies. You know, who brought what to this renaissance, really. Really, just as you said, to encourage, I forgot your particular language, but choice making, you know, but encourage,
choice creating,
you know,
yeah, choice creating,
choice creating. So, yeah.
Choice, to me, choice and go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. After you.
Well, choice and decision are two words that people use interchangeably, but they really mean entirely different things. One is a judgmental process, and the other is a creative process. And what? As facilitator, we need to do is help people realize, you know, to help people find themselves in the zone of thinking creatively about issues rather than judgmentally about issues. And so that's the struggle of it all. And when we make that distinction, when we realize that fundamentally democracy is based on choice creating. I mean, the nature of democracy should or ought to be where all of us somehow are in the conversation and we're facing issues and we're visiting together and we're coming up with unity about what to do. And that's kind of how the United States got founded. Not, okay, no women, no Native Americans, no slaves, all that stuff. But for the time, that is really what happened among the stakeholders that were available at the time, is that it was a different conversation. It was a choice-creating conversation. George Washington was unanimously elected, and he stood there and held space, and they came up with their presentation about what ought to be, and the citizens basically said, great, we like it, except we want a Bill of Rights. Thank you very much. And then there was a period after the Bill of Rights was passed when you couldn't find any of the stakeholders, whatever, that wasn't saying, yeah, let's go ahead and try this thing. So it was a really odd thing for a country, for an almost country, to be near in accord about what to do. And But, of course, since then, we've had none of that. That's not been the case. Now we do this voting thing, we do this balance of powers, we do this representatives, we do this. It's kind of a battle, the whole thing. And we end up with a disenfranchised set of people and the minorities that are upset. And the whole process cannot come to a resolution. And we have silliness of sillinesses. We have this trying to figure out what those 18th century people, founders, were thinking in order to know what to do today. And they, of course, didn't know anything about the internet or highways or flush toilets or anything.
Or assault weapons, right? There's a lot on our table. Yeah, muskets are okay because it takes you, as Jim Jefferies, great Australian comedian, says, I'm all in favor of muskets because it takes a long time and it gives you time to cool off, right? Because it takes like 5 minutes to load that. Yeah. So there is, and but again, you know, quickening the little receptors, everything coming back because you know what you're dedicated to and many of us as well, you with your craft, craft means power from dedication, you know, there are roots of it. I mean, in the 30s in this country, there were fervent gatherings, you know, in working class neighborhoods in Baltimore and Providence and, you know, Richmond, California, in which people really were, I mean, it was sort of anarchist and working class, but they were really working on what is wise governance and what is leadership and what, and then that all went away and got snookered. And you know, as I said to you backstage when I called you, I go, you know, we are so interested in how do we spiral out of polarity, because you know, even or maybe especially the sort of you know, allegedly liberal news shows, they're all, you know, with the spectacular Parkland youth, they're always trying to pull them back into, aren't you angry about this? And the Parkland youth, your teammates, were so good at, like, we want to talk about what unites us, and the interviewer's like, what, aren't you mad about that? And they're like, no, we're going over here. They're really good at spiraling out of polarity, and so is Stormy Daniels. I have a great admiration for her, and that only increases because she's really good at spiraling out of polarity. And just as a little sidebar, Stormy Daniels gave her first financial payment from the Trump realm to Planned Parenthood in Donald Trump's name. I go, oh, yes, in the quirky mystery play, we have many allies. That's adorable. So there is a, you know, a fervency. I mean, I know you, as you say, you've been dedicated for 30 years, and does it not feel, here's a rhetorical question, does it not feel like now's the time?
Yes, it's exactly right. Now is the time. Because what's so wonderful, I mean, I hate to say this in a way, but this Trump thing and the climate change and all these things are crisis enough that people are starting to realize, well, wait a minute, this can't work. Our system, A, not only can't work, it is causing these problems.
I've been so captivated by our conversing that we blew right past our short little break at the half hour, but we're going to take a very short break. No, that's me. And then we will return with our splendid guest, Jim Ruff, and his website is wisedemocracy.org, and we'll be right back after this very short break.
She shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
I'll get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Skyship, make his voice long.
I'll get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. CoyoteNetworkNews.com for many ways to cahoot. And we are back with our splendid guest, Jim Ruff from wisedemocracy.org. And then before we dive back in, serendipitous synchronicity has brought us together and everyone listening as well, but me with wonderful Jim Ruff and his long time 30-year dedication. So it was from an email that surfaced randomly from quite a long time ago from Darlene Rollins, and she said, I've worked with Jim many years ago, and I think his process is really great, and I really would be interested to see it work in our highly polarized policy debates. He's doing some of this work in Europe on this scale. Anyway, so we wave to our agent of connectedness. Thank you, Darlene, for cahooting this together, and then back to where you are guiding us, wherever you were mid-sentence, Jim Ruff.
Well, I was thinking after, I don't mean to put, you know, obviously the Constitution is what is holding us together right now, so I don't mean to put that down in that way, but it stepping back a couple of steps and looking at it, it's just crazy that Americans, I mean, we had a tremendously positive, I think, founding experience, but we've lost our ability to carry that forward. How do we, the people, come together today so that we don't have these, what they keep calling, constitutional crises? I mean, yeah, of course we're going to have constitutional crises after 230 years, where, I mean, like, I think if the, you know, let's say that we determine that the Russians flipped the election, does that mean that we go to the vice president, we get rid of Trump and have the vice president take over? No, there's no way to have a let's all get together and think about what we the people feel should happen. And the Wisdom Council process provides a way to do that. And it isn't expensive, and it isn't, I can't find any downside. I've been doing this, like you say, for, well, you know, 25, 30 years, and I can't find a downside. Nobody ever tells me what the downside is. If they find it, let me know. Basically, we randomly select from the country 24 people, mathematically random, and we do this every 3 months or so. We gather those 24 people for 2 or 3 days. We facilitate them in dynamic facilitation, which means they're not in the normal back and forth decision-making mode. They're creative, and they come up with unity. After we always do them 1.5 days because we can't afford to pay anybody. But if we paid them a stipend, they'd be 3 days probably at the national level. And they walk on stage, and every time they walk on stage, they're pumped. They're so excited. They said, how the heck did we ever come up with unity? We don't know, but we did. And they tell their story of how they did it. They tell, you know, okay, first we started here. We were lost. We didn't know anything. We began to have a few insights. First we thought this was the problem, and then we went there, and we thought that was the problem. And finally we came to the place, well, as one local Wisdom Council did, said our social contract is broken. It doesn't work anymore, and we need to figure out some way to get a new one. And so that was a Asheville, North Carolina small group, but they report to the nation, and then they disband. They don't have any power, and the only power they have is if the rest of the nation or anybody paying attention basically talks among their friends and talks in small groups, whatever, however we set that up, and they all say, yeah, I'm with them. How do we do that? I try not to use the word agree, but we're in resonance with that. So, because what we want to do is export the spirit of choice creating to the larger conversation, as well as just in the Wisdom Council, and that, well, almost always we get the same answer that, yeah, I'm with this. This is good, but we should add this piece, and maybe that piece isn't quite right. And so there's this building. The red team and the blue team just kind of fall away as we figure out what we all want together, and we listen to one another, and we incorporate the diversity, and then you have a legitimate voice of we the people. And elected officials have a way of jumping in front of that parade and say, hey, that's what I've been saying all along. Or, you know, I mean, what we found in Austria and now Germany and a little bit in Switzerland is that elected officials are buying into this, even when lots of people aren't paying attention, just randomly selecting the people, and them coming up with unity is a legitimate symbolic expression, maybe for the first time in history, of the will of the people.
Yes. And then I couldn't help but look up the etymology of agree, because I like this to and fro, and maybe you can come back and we can throw it back in the cauldron too. But it does mean towards that which is pleasing, welcome, and agreeable. It doesn't seem too grumpy.
It's about judgment. If I'm in an agree disagree thing, if that's what is happening, then there's a judgment I'm making about whether I'm with that or not.
Okay.
And what I want to do is shift the dynamic of thinking away from using the judgmental side of the mind to the, oh, that's fascinating. Why did they come up with that? I'm going to add this piece because I think this. In other words, there isn't, you just jumped right over. There isn't any agree, disagree in the creative side. It's just building on what's happening.
I like it. Do you know the pretty great book Finite and Infinite Games by James Carse?
I do. I love it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, good. But good. Right. And just to as a listener ally recommended this to me years ago, and I love it. And even on the cover, it says a finite game is about winning, an infinite game is about keeping everything in play. The Renaissance, because that's really, was not defined as against. It was an irresistible magnetizing of the best of humans. Come on over here. Right. And that's really, so we could say we're in accord. I mean, that is one of your dedications, right?
I quote the book actually in the book I wrote on called Society's Breakthrough. The difficulty with my book is that when it happened and when I wrote it, I thought the way to establish a legitimate we the people today was through a constitutional amendment. And that would certainly do it. That would be great. But I, you know, there's nobody out there that thinks that's possible. But what happened for me was we started doing experiments with the process anyway, the Wisdom Council process, and found that it worked anyway. And the magic sauce, we became aware that the magic sauce is really this spirit of choice creating and our ability to reliably facilitate it. That is what makes the difference. So that's why I draw this, you know, distinction between the decision-making realm, which isn't bad. It's not getting rid of that. We do that 90% of the time, but what is missing entirely in our system is the choice creating part, where we stop and think together as a we the people, you know.
So I mean, and this ties in also to, you know, what you speak of in your videos on your website and all, wisedemocracy.org, you know, to invite all of us to a noble service or a noble mission. And
yeah.
That is, you know, we're the first human several generations that have not had an initiation process of returning vets and young people, you know, which is a simple thing that you're delineating, going, come, we need you. We need you to help build Stonehenge. We need you to design the desirable world. We need you, as you put it, to invite us all to a noble service, which is...
Well, except that the we is us. The we is all of us. So
yeah.
A friend of mine named Rick Ingrassi, he's always saying, you know, create a better party. That's the secret to life or something. But basically, it's really about a conversation that is getting going and that it's really, really, really hard not to be a part of. And so all we're doing is having a conversation, and we're holding it in the spirit of choice creating. And as it starts with this randomly selected group, so we get of right and the left in the room, and we get all the diversity of races and positions and species and whatever are there, and they all are become assets because we're in a creative zone. When you're in a creative zone, the diversity is an asset. When you're in a judgmental zone, the diversity is a liability. Then it's like, oh no, you disagree now, so we're screwed, you know? But if we're all together, it's like, it's not a disagreement. It's a, oh my gosh, how did you ever have that? How do I incorporate that into what we're doing, you know?
Right. No, that's great. No, and that's a good synchronicity. I've worked with Rick and Grassy for years. So there we go. We're all conversing, right? A wonderful etymology, con with verse turning. We're all in a giant conversing. We're all in a giant storytelling conversing, you know, and who brought what to this Renaissance? Yeah, I love that. And, you know, and it's also the kind of the, you know, the pragmatic metaphysics, you know, is, you know, start with a desirable vision with which everyone could be in accord, you know, rather than how. Because when we start with a vision, then avenues of synchronous how open up that weren't immediately apparent. If we start with how, then everybody goes to war. So, I mean, is that part of your dynamic to you know, who brought what's a desirable vision? That's what you did really in Austria, or that's what that council did, right?
Yeah, the Wisdom Council started out one way, was that you randomly select these people, and in the original formulation, I thought you pretty much, they had to pick the topic, the issue. They chose the issue to work on, and then there would be a story to tell about that. But and that would have worked great if we'd had a constitutional amendment set it up. But then what really we discovered by accident, because the people in Austria politically needed to say the issue ahead of time, they said the issue ahead of time, the governor would set the issue, or the parliament, one of the political parties would set the issue, and they'd rotate. What happened is it still worked, and it, the legitimate we the people rose, because they would generally come to a new formulation of the issue, and they would tell a story that was somewhat resonant, so that anybody listening, anybody hearing their story of what they did and what they came up with, was in that resonant field of saying, yeah, I think so too, not as an observer, but more as a participant. Because it's this, when you randomly select people and you take them through an incredible challenge like that they had, and they come out the other side, they're actually a symbol of all of us. They're a symbol of me too. And so I'm kind of in this story as an active participant in a way when I come out the other end. It's not watching other people as much as it is watching ourselves, me included. And that's a little bit of the magic of how this works, is that we want the whole system to be and feel part of we the people.
So then the random selection, that sounds good. Is it really like you know, a lottery with names inside, and you reach inside and pull a name? I mean, how do you do
that?
Yeah,
everybody's done it differently, unfortunately, but what it should be is a mathematical lottery. Real, absolutely, just like that. Except, I mean, sometimes we have people who are in dementia, or they're having a personal crisis, or for some reason or other they can't come, but that's fine. We want to be equal in terms of how we offer this to everybody, and we'd love to have those randomly selected come, and that way we get a true diversity. The other way people do it, and they actually do this in Austria, which is not so good, I don't think, is they send, you know, they randomly select a bunch and they send out lots of postcards, and then, you know, whoever sends it in, they randomly select from that group.
Right. So, there is those who you know, are tidy and responsive and obedient. I mean, oh, yeah. So there's a selecting thing. But you know, part
yeah,
of the
that's
beauty
not so
of,
good. I don't think that good. But but what we're finding is that it works anyway. It works anyway. Mm-hmm. People get it, that it's not really the randomness, it's the spirit of what we're doing that is, A, the spirit of trying to be random, and B, the spirit of choice creating, where we're all honestly, even if we got 24 neo-Nazis, the wisdom council process is structured so that everybody's accepted and okay, and you're trying to figure out what's best for everybody. And the if it didn't work, then everybody in the audience would just blow it off and you'd randomly select a new group. You know, I mean, it doesn't, but it does work anyway, because people put aside their normal costume and they become authentic. And that's what we're really after, is authentic people trying to solve a puzzle here.
Yeah, and yeah, authenticity is the key. I mean, if our inward and outward selves really match. And it's intriguing, because in the astro-mythological language, you know, trickster Uranus is, you know, experiment. It's nature's evolutionary experimental drive that has no category about success, fail. Other parts of us do. It's like, try that, nope, try that, nope, try that, oop. And it's always been associated with democracy, this experimental aligning with a kind of experimental genius and synchronicity and what brought us here together and now, and the dedicated listeners, may it all be, you know, kind of synchronous, and that sense of, you know, to the extent that it is possible, and may it be increasingly possible, to convene in truly egalitarian ways, because that's so when you pick the random, or however, you know, decided by synchronicity possibly, so it's just a group of people. There's no leader, right?
No leader. But the dynamic what we have discovered is the neat thing about dynamic facilitation is that it is designed to evoke choice creating instead of decision making. And so we are helping people to, you know, like we have a video on the web, I don't know if you saw this one, but there's one that took place in Mauthausen in Austria, a wisdom council, because that's where the biggest Nazi concentration camp was in Austria. And there's actually three towns, but they, you know, they have this ruin there that is a crime to have it disappear, and yet there's a part of the community would love to have it disappear. And so they held a wisdom council on that issue, and there's a video of Martina Hendler, who was the dynamic facilitator for that. She was describing on the phone just couple weeks ago what has happened since. And so there was a guy there that basically, you know, was tired of the immigrants, was tired of the facility being there, tired of the whole mess, and he was randomly selected, and he wanted to come in and just speak the truth and bolt. You know, that was his whole idea. And what happened instead, of course, was that through the dynamic facilitation, he was heard because his energy was high, so we're following energy, and his energy was really high, and he was heard, and is listened to, and put on the charts, and everybody in the room is heard in the same way, but he was astounded that he wasn't just kind of slapped down, and he was planning to leave, but he ended up staying the whole time, and what the group came up with was that they need to become a center for human rights, and their children need to become expert in teaching human rights and using that facility. And this happened a while ago, so they've had their first symposium. Actually, they had a flood first, but so they were held back. But they've had their human rights symposium, their first one, and Martina had just been to it. So it was just a wonderful story of the whole community coming around a vision for what needs to happen, and a way to include the youth, especially, was the really pivotal part of it.
Well, and you know, if part of our assignment is, and it is in a way, to bring the best of human past and mythology alive in fresh, new, experimental ways, the likes of which you're doing. You know, the Grail legend, the Round Table, you know, was meant to be comprised of shining, radiant, equal individuals dedicated to collective community well-being, right? And part of that dynamic that I want to toss back to you is that in the myth, you know, it was an experiment, a mythological experiment, to have, you know, spiritual cultivated people participating in community governance. And what passes for the end of the Grail legend and the Arthurian legends is all the spiritual people go away. Merlin goes off, you know, with the fairy into the woods, and Arthur goes off to take Pilates classes in Avalon with the priestesses, you know. And we go, until now, you know, calling back, you know, that within everybody, you know, come on back now. But that egalitarian sense, and we go, okay, you know, waking up and dreaming. So in our last precious minutes here, how can we cahoot with your vision? What would you love to happen now for your dedicated work in this country? What would it look like?
Well, you know, we don't need... I would like people to take a look at the website, and I'd like people to to notice that this... I don't know of another solution strategy that's out there. I mean, there's lots of people saying that if we change the individuals, then get a critical mass, then everything's going to change. But I don't believe it. We live in a system. And here, that means that kind of change process isn't really going to work. And because it's Dixis in this judgmental decision-making mode.
Right.
You're
going to
have systemic racism as long as you have that. But the change that's needed is not that hard. What we need to do, I believe, is set up this additional conversation, this We the People conversation. And so I hope they look at the website and they realize, my God, this is a way to solve not only these national problems, but these global problems like climate change, whatever. I mean, when it all boils down to is what Al Gore says, that we need the political will. Well, that's We the People. So here's a way to solve all these big problems. Here's a way to address them in an entirely breakthrough way, and to look at what's going on. And frankly, what we need is a few millions of dollars. We need it, and some people that are good organizers. It doesn't have to be.
And again, what would that look like? As a diaspora, what would that look like in our last minute here? All right, let's say you have $1 million. All right, and then in communities, you're putting what is the actual?
It doesn't need communities. I mean, it would definitely bring communities. But what we can do, this is a holistic process. So we need one wisdom council for the United States. And it doesn't need, we don't need anybody's permission to set it up. We can do it as a reality TV show.
Okay. All right. This is getting fun. And we won't drive people away by calling it a confluence of heretics. But we love the word heretic. You're a great heretic because it means ability to choose. And it used to be a term of praise in early Christianity before it got hoodwinked into state servitude. But that's great. All right. I like this. All right. So it's a global United States Wisdom Council, right? You're magnetizing.
Well, we can do
this.
We need to do a global one, and there's a plan, an eight-step plan written up for the Global Wisdom Council.
Excellent.
On the website, and there's a similar national plan, only it's not written up so well.
Okay.
And,
We're on our way out, but we're delighted that Synchronicity brought us together.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you for your dedicated work. Thanks always to Erica Bridgman and Caroline Casey. CoyoteNetworkNews.com is how you can find many ways to cahoot. And again, our splendid dedicated guest, Jim Ruff, his website is wisedemocracy.org. Yes, let's have a wisdom council in this country. We're all part of that and rooting for it. Thanks so much, team. We will reconvene next week.
Are you tired of The Matrix?
The movie?
No, not the movie, but the one you're living in. If so, then hang out with your friends at The Full Circle.
What's The Full Circle?
Full Circle is a radio show written, produced, and directed by apprentices right here at KPFA. We'll bring you everything from the obscure to the obvious, the hidden and the blatant, as well as all things in between. So be informed. Hear about your world community every Friday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on 94.1 FM, where we'll serve you the red pill with love.
Truth, justice, and the American way. Apprentices, assemble.
In spite of the Empire's wall building, dream dashing, and press punishment, the quest for fairness, equality, and freedom of speech continues with ample support from the First Voice Apprenticeship Program at KPFA Radio.
First Voice is an opportunity for collective discovery, enhanced vision, and expression of your unique self through radio. Your passion and perspective can help fortify and expand the quest.
Apply now and learn to produce radio while building community. To apply, visit kpfaapprentice.org.